Hello, welcome back. We are here with our Reverend Dr. Peter for part two. Thank you guys for listening. We wanted to let you know we ran into a little technical difficulties, but it's not going to stop the will and purpose that the Lord has over our life with this podcast. We're going to keep it rolling, and I know a few of you want to hear what Brother Peter has to say about that question, because I got a lot of questions on that. So, Brother Peter, without further ado, I'm going to let you jump right in and continue what you were stating regarding the submission.
Okay, thank you, thank you. So, like I was saying, submissiveness is not bondage and it's not slavery, okay? We are people that are willing to submit when things are in the right way. We don't submit to abusive marriages. We don't submit to corrupt authorities. And we don't submit that interfere with our morality. So I just wanted to stress that across the conversation. Like another, I'm going to use an example. If the law of the land is saying you can't go, let's say you can't go to church because we'll arrest you, then I'll be the first one in church. Because I'm not going to submit to a law that has to, that's interfering with my relationship with God. Now, and also I'm not going to submit to someone or something that, again, is interfering with my morality and with what I know that is right before the Lord. So when it comes to relationships, it's the same thing. We don't want women to submit to an abusive man. If you are in an abusive relationship, and this is a sad story that is repeated many times. Many women are in relationships and they think, I have to stay with this man because I love him or because of my children. And many women, unfortunately, wind up in a hospital and sometimes wind up in the grave because they think love is, yeah, I have to get smacked. I have to get beat up because that's the way it is. It's not that way. I'm here to let you know, women of God or any woman that is hearing me, that is not God's will. For you to be in an abusive relationship and submit to someone who is not willing to respect you and honor you as Christ honors the church. So that is a true man of God is a man that's not only a provider, because there are some men that cannot work. There are some men that don't, that can't provide. There are some women that make more money than men. So it's not about money. It's not about finances. A provider, when it comes to a man, a provider is a protector. A provider is, yes, it has to do with finances. But no matter how big or small the finance, he's still a provider. A provider is a caretaker. A provider is a compassionate man that understands. You know, there was a book written many years ago, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. I don't know if anyone ever read that book. It was a good book, but it had a lot of things in it that I don't agree with. Because again, there was a lot of degrading things in it. But according to the Word of God, if you want to be in a relationship that you're able to submit to, find a man or a woman that is compatible to your spirit. And this is where failure comes in. Many of the relationships that have a problem with the word submission is because they got into a relationship with somebody that, and you mentioned it, Sister Jew, somebody that was not of their faith, or somebody that was from different religion, or somebody that was an atheist, and then they want to win that person. When they say, when I get married, I'll win my husband or my wife for the Lord. It doesn't work like that. Yeah. You know, this is why we have to be careful when we are getting into relationships and we are trying to find someone that we can share our lives with. You know, there was a song back in the day that says, you know, many people are looking for love in all the wrong places, you know, and that even in the Lord. We don't look for love in a person to get into a relationship with. We look for someone to be compatible with our spirits, which again, many people do not understand. They're like, but, you know, I thought it was about I gotta fall in love, and then, you know, after we fall in love, then we date, and after we have two or three dates, then we have sex, and then you know, we live with each other and we try each other out. This is why, again, there are so many abusive relationships, because they're going about love the wrong way. Love is not about sex. Love is not about money. Okay? Love is not about luxury. Love is about, am I willing to share my life with a person that is going to honor me and respect me for the rest of my life, no matter how much I change, no matter if I gain weight, no matter if I get 100 wrinkles on my face, you know, because I wasn't like that when I was 20 years old. That is true love. The love of God, again, that has sustained my marriage is the what we call the agape love of God. The love that is unconditional. You know, human relationships, over 98% of them are not, come with conditions. I'll love you as long as you do. I'll love you as long as you pay my rent. I love you as long as you put me in the will. And that's not love.
Yes. Amen.
That's love. That is the lust of the eye, which is, you know, about me, pride. So I want to wrap it up in that part about submissiveness. Is there is no problem with submitting to someone as long as that person is being submissive to their authority, which is God. You see, a man that is submitted to God's authority doesn't have to tell his wife, submit unto me. That will happen automatically by the life that they are living and by the living testimony they are showing to their spouse. But if the man is not in accordance with the authority of God, I'm going to tell you men right now, don't expect your woman to understand what it is to submit, which is, again, not bondage or slavery. It is a word that is used in that way by a generation that truly does not understand. But I'm here to let everyone know, submitting to authority is a proper way of letting that person know, I love you. I'm willing to be submissive, not because you're telling me or ordering me, not because your religion is telling me to do it, but I'm doing it out of free will, out of the goodness of my heart. I'm willing to submit to my husband. I'm willing even to submit to my wife, because men, we have to be submissive also, you know?
Yes.
And that word submissive to a woman doesn't mean I bow down to a woman. I'm going to give up my manhood if I submit to the woman that God put in my life. No, I submit to the woman that God has allowed to be in my life, that she's going to be the love of my life until I die. She's going to be the mother of my children. She is going to be my helpmate for the rest of my life. In the good, the bad, the ugly, and even the ugliest. Okay? That is true submissiveness. So I'm hoping with the way that I'm explaining it, with very simple terminology, the word submissiveness is not bondage or slavery. It is about a willingness to be submissive to someone or something, whether it's a job, whether it's a career. I'm willing to submit, which is I'm willing to sacrifice of myself to this man or to this woman, to this job or this career, to this ministry or to the calling of God. I'm willing to surrender, which is another part of submissiveness. I'm willing to surrender who I am in order so that my husband or my job or the ministry or my servitude to the Lord can be established in my life according to the will of God, not according to my feelings or my emotions or to my ideas. So I hope that I explained that as best as I can, in the simplest way that I can. Women and men of God, the word submitting to each other is not about, again, the woman walking behind us. Like many other religions, they have the women walking in back of them, like if they're second-class citizens, or they treat them like dogs. Any man that treats a woman in that regard, that they're not important, then you don't deserve to have a woman in your life. And I'm speaking to the men. And I'm going to speak to the women. If you find a good man, not a perfect man, that is willing to try his best to be submissive to God, and again, we all have flaws. We all have weaknesses. But if we are willing to work through our weaknesses and through our flaws and sharpen each other to better each other, we can submit to each other. And women, you can submit to your man. to the man that God put in your life so that you can walk this journey together. Until God comes or until he calls us, either individually or at the same time, submitting to one another is not as hard as the world is portraying it to be. Because, like I said, if we can submit to God, we should not have a problem submitting to authority here on the earth. But like I gave that analogy about Walmart and the shopping carts, if we cannot submit to those simple things in life, how are we going to submit to the perfect will of God in our lives? How are we going to submit women to our husbands if we cannot submit to simple things? If we cannot obey a simple law of the land by not running a red light, by putting the shopping cart where it belongs, by treating someone, you know, as you want to be treated. So those are the things that we need to learn in life and mature in this walk with Christ. Because once we understand that, believe me, serving the Lord is not as hard as it is, as religion portrays it to be. Because serving God is only hard when you have these do's and don'ts and these religious entities saying you have to do this, you have to do, and God is saying, just give me your heart. Just be obedient. Just be faithful to me. As Revelation 2:10 says, if we are faithful to the end, God will give us the crown of life. So faithfulness and obedience is the only two requirements that God is asking every human being to be submissive to. Be faithful and be obedient to what God has in our life. And that, again, when we keep entering the purpose of the kingdom of God, we will understand that in order for us to have success in ministry, success in serving the Lord, we need to understand, number one, our purpose in the kingdom of God. Once we understand our purpose and have an encounter with that purpose, then we will truly understand what our identity is in the kingdom of God. Because many people don't understand their purpose and their identity in the kingdom of God, which we can talk about in the next few moments if we have time. I don't know how much time we have. But again, I'm glad we asked the question about submissiveness, because it's very important to understand that submissiveness is not bondage and it's not slavery. It is a choice to make once we understand that if we can submit to God, we can submit to our husbands again freely with the true love of God in our lives. And men, we can also submit to the authority of God and respect and honor our women as God respects and honors the body of Christ. So go ahead, Sister Jew. I don't know if you have any other questions or anything to add on to that, or if any listener is, you know, I don't know if they're putting in questions via the phone conversation, but I wanted to end it right there because there's nothing more for me to add on to that in regards to being able to submit. But understand, if you understand how we must submit to God, we won't have a problem submitting to each other.
Thank you so much, Brother Peter, for clarifying that inquiry. It's been ringing some bells for a while now, and I think you've brought much needed clarity to it in regards to the whole submission process and what our Father expects of us, and if those that are not walking in His will, these are not individuals that we should submit to. And if we, unfortunately, if we have made ties with them, we may need to sever them and go our separate ways. But as Brother Peter mentioned, it's important, you know, before you get into these covenants with individuals, that you try your best to investigate, find out what they're into, what their beliefs are and practices. I know some people wear masks and sometimes are led by lust more so than faith, and you may unfortunately become a victim of that, but you know, we hope that through this information exchange that we're giving you, that you can make wise decisions. I know sometimes when we're young, in our teenage years and so forth, we may not have the wisdom behind some of these decisions of union, but as we mature and gain wisdom and understanding,
We want to make wiser decisions for that connection. Don't you agree, Brother Peter?
Yes, yes. And, you know, you just made me realize to say something very important. We're not letting anyone know that if you are in a situation right now where again, you're in a relationship with somebody who doesn't agree with your faith. We're not telling you run away. We're not telling you go and get a lawyer and get divorced tomorrow. We're telling you to use wisdom as you continue this walk of faith in the Lord, for God to guide you on how to go about either, you may get up to the point where the relationship may have to end, but you do it respectfully and with love. That if it has to end, that you don't become enemies, because we don't want that for people. We want people to be in peace and love each other. But and because they have relationships that have been together for 10, 20 years, you know, and they're facing this situation right now, you know, I'm in a situation which I wish I didn't get into, and they think it's too late. Let the Holy Spirit guide you on what
guide
you have
you.
To do.
Yeah.
You know, but we're not advocating, you know, for you to go get a divorce or run away from your marriage or anything, but we're telling you to use wisdom, because that's very important. And God will lead you to do the right thing, you know. So I just wanted to say that, Sister Jude, because I didn't want no one to take it the wrong way that we're advocating.
Yes.
You know,
I'm so glad you clarified it. And I, too, want to make sure that you guys understand what I'm saying. When I say that, everyone has a different case scenario and what the Holy Spirit will guide you to do. And we serve such a loving and forgiving God that sometimes He may guide you into counseling. He may guide, you guys to work it out in a way that the person will finally walk in the will of God. But there's also people who are not willing and trying to manipulate God's plan and do things underhanded, and that's what I'm talking about. When they clearly made up their mind that that's not the walk they want to walk in, they want to serve something else, and it's destructive to you and your loved ones. At that point, I think you should look into other measures.
Correct.
But needless to say, right? Usually, Brother Peter, I try to bring up a hot topic of today, right, and correlate it with our subject matter, with whatever news is happening, and you know, people can kind of relate and find answers to. And the topic that I found out recently was that on Wednesday, the House passed legislation regarding the anti-discrimination and anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2023. And basically, the courts they've decided that, believing the gospel that says Jesus was handed over to Herod to be crucified by the Jews would be considered anti-Semitic in a way. And so they kind of want to do away with the Bible entirely for certain things in the Bible. And I wanted to get your opinion on, are they basically saying that the Bible is illegal because it has hate speech with historical, factual things that happen? I mean, many of us want to know where are we going with this, because I know we all want to be appeasing to others and tell them lukewarm messages. But there's some things that just aren't lukewarm, right? And we have to take it for what it is and learn from it. And if we keep on trying to scratch out history and scratch out what makes us uncomfortable, where is it going to lead us as a Christian base? And are they going to do away with this entire scripture, even in the courts that they have to swear on now, because it's, part of it is considered anti-Semitic? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, no, I'm glad you asked that. Well, here it is. I'm gonna say a quick thing, and then I'm gonna get a little deeper into it. These things have to happen in order for us to know where we're standing. And my reason for saying that, because again, this is not something new. The Word of God has always been historically, they're always trying to erase the truth of God, whether it be in written format or verbally. Now, as the world that we're living on, we see the chaos that's going on. We see the discrimination against religion, especially against Christianity. Because Christianity, even though it's a religion, but in that religion of Christianity, there are men and women that truly portray and live the message of God without bowing down to the Baals of the world. And I'm saying that because when these things are trying to be passed by law, by the law of the land, these are moments that we are seeing that they're trying, that, again, what I was saying, even in regards to what we were talking about submission, we're not going to submit, as a man or woman of God, we're not going to submit to something that we know that it's against the Word of God. I'm going to use this as an example. You just said it, the anti-Semitic thing. We know if really one knows the true history of the crucifixion, it wasn't the Jews that crucified Jesus, okay? It was the Roman Empire. You know, the Roman Empire being guided by religious folks, not people who believed in God, not people, and I'm saying religious because, you know, the Pharisees and people like that were the ones that were behind the crucifixion. Now, no matter who it was, that was his assignment. The Messiah's assignment was to come and die in place for our sins. So whether it was a Jew or Gentile, it didn't matter. It had to be fulfilled. But now the world that we're living in, because of this uncomfortableness that they feel, because truth offends people, truth hurts. But are we going to be people that are going to bow down to the comfortness of people not wanting to hear the truth, not wanting to know the truth? And this is why they're trying to do away with the Word of God in written format. And again, it's nothing new. There are many countries around the world that they catch you with a Bible, there's no questions asked, they shoot you right in the head in the street. Or either they'll put you in jail for the rest of your life for carrying a Bible. Or for even saying the name of Jesus. There's places where you go in this, and I've been to many places like that where you're not even allowed to say the name of Jesus. But here it is. This is where we know who we really are in Christ, because Christianity here, and I'm going to say this, and I hope the audience understands what I'm going to say. In the society that we live in, especially here in America, where, you know, we say it's the land of the free and of the brave and of opportunity, it's also a land where we live in that, again, when we say we have freedom of speech and all these things, you know, and we try to bring messages according to our beliefs or our opinions, the generation we believe that we live in today, if you're not in alignment with what corruption is saying today, then we're all wrong. In other words, we already know that homosexuality, according to the Word of God, is a sin. It's an abomination, actually an abomination. The world we live in today, the laws were passed that homosexuality is okay. You can even marry a tree or a dog if you want, and that's okay. Now, as a man or a woman of God, am I going to bow down to that? I'm going to say no. So then I'm telling the world I'm willing to go to jail. I'm willing to die for Christ as Christ died for me, because I am not going to bow down to the Baals of the world. And you have people, and I'm going to use COVID-19 as an example. COVID-19 was the perfect, I would say, the perfect scenario to set up what's going to continue to happen to religious folks. COVID-19 was used as a means to shut down churches all over the world, to shut down preachers, evangelists, missionaries, because the law of the land says you have to be masked up, you have to take a vaccine. If not, how did they portray, especially the Christianities and other people who said, I'm not going to take the vaccine, I'm not going to put on a mask. We were the bad guys. We were the killers of the population, and we all know that was all a lie. But here it is. It was a perfect scenario to use against religion. So if the law tells you, shut down your church, you can't go to worship on Sunday or Monday or whatever it is. If you don't listen to the law, we take away your 501c3. We take away, we'll tell the owner of where you're, we'll take away your land. And here's what,
What
I'm going to say to people. Are you willing to die for Christ as he died for you? Because that is the moment that we are living in, Sister Jewel. We are living in the moments and the times where Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Now, here's the question. What word was he talking about? Was he talking about the Bible? Because Jesus did not carry a Bible when he was teaching. Jesus did not have the New Testament when he was preaching and teaching. What word was he talking about? He was talking about the living word, which is him. If we have the living word of God in us, which is the kingdom of God in us, if we truly have the kingdom of God, his word in us. Remember what John chapter 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. So that is the word that we are supposed to be carrying besides the written word. Because there are people in other countries that don't have a Bible, and yet they're coming to Christ by revelation of the Holy Spirit. They don't have a written word. They don't have a manuscript. They don't have a scroll. But they're coming to Christ by the revelation of the living word. So, again, I'm saying to our audience, are we willing to die for Christ as he died for us? And I'm not saying that we got to be crucified. What I'm saying, are we willing to submit to God's authority and not man's authority? When it comes to submitting to the authority of men that interferes with our morality and our salvation, we're telling the law of the land, I'm willing to go to jail. I'm willing to lose my family. I'm willing to lose my job.
Yes.
For the cause of Christ. Not too many people in America will bow down to submitting to that. They will gladly say, no, I'm going to listen to the law of the land because the law of the land is telling me I got to shut down my church. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. And this is when you're going to know who's real and who's not.
Okay.
Again, not by people saying I'm a Christian and speaking tongues and jumping and diving and hooping and hollering in four walls, but God will truly know who we are when the word of God says when God comes, will he find true worshipers in spirit and in truth? He was talking about people who are willing to follow him no matter what the law of the land says. And I'm letting the audience know today, we are living the greatest apostasy that I've seen in my generation of life, like never before, where things that are right are now being wrong, where wrong is right, again, people are saying you can do this, you can do that, you know, hate speech. And even if you tell somebody Jesus loves you, it's considered hate speech in many countries. In the United Kingdom right now, I can tell you there are many people being arrested just by walking in the street and handing out a pamphlet. You know, with the word of God, they're being arrested, pastors and preachers in the street, in Africa, in India, you know, in China. And I can go on and on with a list of countries around the world where people knowingly are doing the will of God, knowing that they will go to jail or be killed. Here in America, if they tell you right now, listen, if you go out and preach in the street, we're gonna put you in jail. Oh, I won't go. Don't worry, I'll just go to church. I won't go to the street and preach. That is when you know who the lukewarm people are.
Yes.
So
I
just thank the Lord, Sister Jew, that there's still a remnant. In every generation, there's always a remnant that will not sell out, that will kindly and willingly say, chop my head off if that's what it's going to cost me to win a soul for the kingdom of God. Then I'm willing to give my life up because Jesus did it for us. So why can't we do it for him and for his cause and for his kingdom? And this is why you see this thing going on with the laws of the land. Like I said, right now there's a law. It was passed in many, many states here in the United States that when it comes to abortion, you can get an abortion up to 9 months of pregnancy and even after you give birth. If a woman says, I don't want the baby, the doctor can kill the baby. So what does that have to do with a woman's health? Because abortion is not about a woman's health. And I want our audience to know that. And I know this is a hot topic, and maybe I just open up a can of worms, but I'm going to let everyone know.
Open it up, brother. Open it up.
Yeah, abortion is not about a woman's health and a woman's my body, my choice. Because if that was the case, how about with those people that said, I don't want to get the vaccine, it's my body, my choice, and the law was saying, you don't get it, you're going to go to jail, we'll take your business away, we'll do this. So here it is. Abortion is not about a woman's health, because I'm going to break it down simple. Out of 1,000 women that say they want to get an abortion, how many of them are really doing it because of their health? Or because it's about, if I give birth, I'm going to die. Out of 1,000 women, it might be, let's say, 10. And I'm being nice. That if they give birth, yes, their health is in jeopardy, because maybe giving birth, they can also die in the pregnancy. Now, that's between them and God. I'm not going to interfere with that. I'm also going to say I am pro-choice, but I also understand that if someone was to rape my 10-year-old daughter and she gets pregnant, I wouldn't want my daughter to give birth to somebody that raped my daughter. So then again, that decision is between the parent and God. I'm not going to interfere with that. And I know there's a lot of people that would say, oh, if you're a pastor, you even have to agree that even if your daughter gets raped and gets pregnant, she has to give birth, because that's the love of God. You know, what did the child have to do with it? Again, that is something between you and God. I'm not going to be such an extremist or a fanatic when it comes to abortion and say, you know what, every woman has the right to an abortion, when it really doesn't have to do with a right. It has to do, what is the case that you're going to have an abortion? Why are you having an abortion? You understand? So then again, women that are saying is about women's health, it's truly not about the health, because how many women, again, since Roe versus Wade, back in my generation, I think it was in 1973, it was one woman who came out and went to the court and said, it's my right, I don't want to have this child, and they made it a law of the land. Now it was turned around, now everybody's crying, you know, because the Supreme Court actually says, you know what, that should have never been done. But the generation we're living on now, because the generation wants to live in lust, wants to live according to their opinions and their feelings, that's why they're saying and passing these laws, because a small group of people are saying this is the way it should be. Where is the voice of the true men and women of God to stand up for the righteousness of God and say, no, we won't bow down to these laws of the land. No, we won't bow down to a baby being killed at the 9th month of pregnancy, or the 6th month, or even after birth, because a woman decides, I don't want this baby. I don't like the color. I don't like the eyes. You know, whatever excuse they use to say, I don't want the baby. Now, what does that have to do with a woman's health? When a woman is saying, I just don't want the baby. When there are women out there, you know, getting pregnant left and right, you know, because they want to have sex, you know, without protection. You understand? And then all of a sudden they get pregnant, I don't want the baby. So it's my body, my choice. No, it's not your body. You have another body inside your body. What about that body's right? What about that body that's in your body that can't make a decision now, but you made a decision to get pregnant, and then all of a sudden you don't want it because you don't want the responsibility? Then here's what I tell women. Then if you don't want the baby, give it up for adoption. There are many people out there now that can't, many marriages that can't produce a child by the natural way, that are hungry and crying for a baby. So give up your baby for adoption. Don't kill a baby. You see, that's the shortcut to everything. Just like people think there's a shortcut to get to heaven. There's a shortcut to ministry. You know, there are no shortcuts to success, ministry, or to heaven. So let's do things the right way. And we will be a much better world if we would just make the right choice on how to do things. So again, I know I opened up a can of worms, you know, with abortion, but it has to do with what you say about the laws that are being passed you know, in a course that when it comes to anti-Semitic things, when it comes to hate speech, you know, we are living in a generation that is so, and I want to be so nice. I want to find the appropriate word, but I'm gonna say it in my Brooklyn language. We're living in a generation of so many wussies out there. Okay, and that's not a bad word. It's just I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, it's acceptable.
Okay, there are so many people that want to be so sensitive. Oh, don't say this to me. Don't say the word black. Don't say the word white. Don't say the N word. Don't say this. Don't say. You know, I was raised in Brooklyn, New York, where, and I'm not gonna say the word because I know they're still. There are sensitive people hearing us. Okay, and I'm gonna respect their sensitivity for this conversation. But back where I was from, you know, we would call each other the N-word, and there was nothing racist about it. That was, you was my bro, you was my homie, you know. And we never thought anything about it. And now, oh my God, you say something to somebody, and they want to kill you and shoot you. Or, you know, if you tell somebody, whether it's an N-word or another word, people are so sensitive. Because this is a generation that they don't know what it is to value honor and dignity and respect. They don't know. This is a pampered generation where they just want everything free. They want everything given to them without understanding the value of sacrifice, without understanding what it is to respect your elders, what it is to have dignity and honor, you know, when you, as you grow up in society. So I'm going to leave it right there.
Love thy neighbor.
When it comes to the laws of the land, it has to do with who we are in Christ.
Yeah.
Because back in the time of Jesus and even before that, believe it or not, it was worse than what we're seeing right now. They just didn't have the technology to portray it on media like we have right now. We're living in the worst of times. No, they had it back then and even worse back then, because back then you were thrown into the lions then right away for even professing that you belong to Christ. Here in America, if you want to go to church, you go to church. If you don't want to go, you don't go. If you want to serve the Lord, you serve the Lord. If you don't want to serve Him, you don't. Because it's easy here. But let me tell you, I tell this to people who cry, you know, wolf all the time and want to cry about rights and everything. Go into another country. And why don't you scream the yells that you're screaming here in another country? I'm going to give you a simple example. Why, when it comes to homosexuality, we want to tell everybody in America, you know, respect homosexuality because everyone has the right to marry whoever they want to. And, you know, homosexuality is a way of life. Why don't we tell that to Saudi Arabia or to Iran or to Pakistan? To other countries where homosexuality, they'll shoot you right there on the spot for being gay. And now we'll say here in America, well, it's because here in America, you know, everybody has the right to do whatever they want. No, everybody has a privilege to do what they want, but it's not always a right. And most people don't understand. You know, we are privileged to be breathing the air that we breathe. It's not a right to breathe the air. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to have a job. It's not a right to have a job. And I can go on and on and on with those scenarios. So, again, we need to understand that we are living in the moments where before Christ comes or before we go to Him, are we truly serving God in spirit and in truth? Do we really have the kingdom of God within us that we will not bow down to the Baals of the world and we will not bow down to the nonsense of the world? Or are we just religious Christians by name only? But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, when it comes down to show who we truly are we willing to do it? And that's all I have to say to that. And I'll leave it to you.
Yes, and when it comes to, I love the nitty gritty because that's so New York. Those of you who know me, I'm from New York. I'm from the Bronx. And so Brother Peter and I, we just connect with our lingo. When he said the nitty gritty, I felt like I was home for a minute. But he's absolutely right. You know, can you walk the walk and talk the talk, when it comes down to a couple of these, hot topics. And I just want to say that, you know, I know sometimes, some feminists will say, Brother Peter shouldn't have the right to speak on, this female topic of abortion. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a female. I'm a woman. And, a lot of times we don't hear from women that, agree with men like Brother Peter. Like he said, I think a lot of laws and decisions are being abused and moving into a satanic realm of celebration, right? Because mm-hmm. what once was a decision for someone's health became a decision of simply sacrificing these children's lives for no other reason other than lust. And I'll add to that point by saying, no, I'm not condemning any woman that has made that decision in her youth. Because the Bible says, right, that as a child, we think like a child. And as an adult, we think like an adult, right? So you may have made a decision as a child, right, and did not fully understand the repercussions that come with that decision until you become an adult, right? We understand that, you know, as we grow in Christ, we have to repent for our sins. There's decisions that we've made that we know deep in our heart, man, I shouldn't have done that. I was just living for the moment. I had a good time. And we know that our Father's looking down at us, shaking his head like, you, child, you're thinking like a child. You have to take accountability and responsibility for your decisions. And now that we're adults, we can step forward and say, we know better. We're going to take accountability. We understand that our body is a temple and it's not meant to be shared and lusted over with tons of partners and then have to deal with a reckless decision and then step into Satan's camp and sacrifice the child. Don't even start walking down that road. Right? Because, and then what makes it even worse is when you try to justify it, knowing it's wrong, knowing that you live for yourself and didn't care about the child, didn't care about how that decision affects generations behind you, because yes, there will have to be generational curse breakers when we make these decisions that are reckless for our family. Right? So we got to take accountability that we're the ones making these decisions to live now, have fun, or as they say, YOLO, right? You only live once.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, someone's got to pay the price for these decisions. If you're going to murder, you got to pay the price down the generational line. So I'm telling you this as a woman. No, you make a mistake, you repent. You don't go celebrating the fact that you're going against the Lord's will. I know I see some women wearing T-shirts saying pro-abortion. This is not something to be pro about. You might as well just say pro-murder on your chest. All right? If you did it, you repent for it. You don't promote it and tell people I'm all for sacrificing babies to bomb. That's not the right way to go. And I'm going to tell you this as a woman, as a mother, you repent. It's not that God won't forgive you, but we all have to deal with the repercussions that come with these decisions. So I just wanted to add that point, and I'm so thankful for you, Brother Peter, for touching on it, because like you said, there's a lot of people that would gracefully back down and say, oh, that's not a topic I want to discuss. They're going to take finances away from my church if I touch on it.
Right.
We're living in these times that you got to stand for something or fall for anything. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So the same information that I would share with my children, I'm going to share with all of you. I'm not going to go behind the scenes and tell my kids the right way to go and then lead you guys astray, right? So I'm thankful that I have Brother Peter in our corner that will just straight talk, shoot from the hip, tell you what it is, because we need that. We're in a generation that is becoming increasingly confusing as to what's right, what's wrong. Do we follow the law? Do we follow God? You know, it's this fine line, And I think deep in our core, we know something's just not right, right?
Right.
Something's just not right with this whole idea of men competing with women in women's sports. Something's just not right. Someone could get hurt if a woman fights a guy with MMA, but nobody wants to say it, but you feel it in the spirit, right? You could affect her from having kids if you hit her the wrong way because you have the power of a man, right? Let's talk about it. You have the power of a man if you strike a blow on that woman, but we want to sit back and wait till it happens and then wait for the law to correct it. No, we need to correct it. We need to speak up and say, you know what, where we're going, let's not have someone get hurt. Let's not have someone die before we speak the truth on the matter and not what feels good. So thank you, Brother Peter, for talking about these issues that some are afraid to speak about. And I'm sure we're going to get tons of feedback from our audience, especially on the homosexual issue, because I know that people, too, have been skating that fine line on homosexuality and fear of the government coming down on them hard, their jobs coming down on them hard. If you're not pro-LGBT, then just consider yourself blacklisted. We all know what's happening here, and we see it. And a lot of people are afraid to speak on it because they'll hit you where it hurts, which is your pocket. And we all have families. We want to support our families. But if they're tying our hands, like Brother Peter said, we have to see where you stand when they put you in situations where you can't move. And now you got to, you know, get assistance just because you spoke the truth.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead. Jump right in, Brother Peter.
Hey, Sister Jew, before we leave the topic of that, about abortion and all that, is that another thing that people don't think about. Okay, yes, I'm a man. I don't know what it is to give birth. But no one thinks about or talks about the man. How this devastates a man. And I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about, you know.
Good one.
Because
mm-hmm.
most women that give abortions is not based on rape. It's not, you know, when you look at the numbers, you know, it's usually young teenage ladies getting pregnant, having abortions, young adults, women adults, again, getting pregnant because they want to play around. They want to, you know, play the baseball game. And then they get
play
pregnant.
Play the field, misguided. Mm-hmm.
What about the man? What about, what devastation does the man go through knowing that, you know, he's going to father a child, and all of a sudden the woman, well, it's my body, my choice, and they're actually saying, the hell with you, man. You know, we don't care about you, men. You know, it's about me. Well, we did this together. So you're telling me I have nothing to say about it. So, again, those are subjects that no one is talking about. What about, again, the devastation for a man besides the woman, you know? And, again, another thing, no one in media, no one is talking about the consequences, like you're saying, of women that had abortions and years later the regrets, the traumas that they're going through. You know, the anxiety, the depression. You see, media won't talk about that, just like drug addiction. You know, they talk about, you know, oh, we got to help out people with drug addictions. Let's give them free needles. Let's let them, you know. But no one is talking about the devastation and the after effects out of all those things that are being done that is not helping people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you said something very important. God will not hold anyone accountable for what they don't know. I'm speaking to women who've had abortions.
Yes.
God is not going to hold you accountable to that. But once you know, like Sister Jew said, then it comes a moment of reflection and repentance. Lord, I did it. I didn't know that I was doing wrong, and now you go forward. And this is why I said in the beginning, God will heal you wherever you hurt, no matter the pain, because there are people in pain right now, like abortion. And they think there's no healing for that. They think there's no forgiveness for that. There is.
Yes,
God is not going to hold that against you. Now, God will hold it against you once you know and don't repent. But if you were in that scenario that you didn't know, God loves you. God wants to heal you from your hurt. He wants to heal you from that guilt of abortion because you didn't know.
Yes.
And And from that moment on, God will make sure that life will be better for you, because you're going to start making right decisions. So I just wanted to say that again, because of the crazy world we're living in, and it's going to continue. It's not going to get any better. Here it is. I want people to understand this. It's not going to get any better speaking on a world perspective, but it will get better individually speaking for those that want to make the decisions to do the right thing, to serve God in spirit and in truth, to not bow down to the Baals of the world, to not go according to man's traditions, but follow the commandments of God, you know, to live the right way, to walk, and not only to talk, but here's what I say, we got to walk the talk, not talk the talk. Mm-hmm. It's easy to talk the talk, but walk the talk.
It sure is. Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm telling, and your audience is listening to me, they might be saying, maybe somebody could be saying, oh, he's talking all of this because he's on the phone. Well, let me tell you, I can literally tell everyone that if you want to know who I truly am, the greatest witness after God is that I have my wife and my family and my children. You understand? Because I'm not a person to talk this and not live it. I live by example. Mm-hmm. I lead by example. Why? Because I don't want nobody to come back and say, you're a hypocrite, you're a liar, you said this, and you know, you do it. No. So I'm very careful in what I say because I live what I say. You know, I don't just talk it for points. I don't talk it. This is why even in social media, even on Facebook where a lot of people are on, I don't have 5,000 people. I don't have, you know, 10 million followers. Why? Because everyone that I have a connection with, I have a relationship with. So I'm not looking for numbers in a quantity of people to say and, you know, applaud me. And I want to say this to your audience. Stop seeking the applause of men. You only need one clap from heaven to know you're on victory.
That's right.
So again, seek the clap of heaven, not the applause of men.
Yes.
And and if we do that, we will walk in victory every day in the kingdom of God. Because I want to say this. In Christianity, there is much failure. But in the kingdom of God, failure is not an option. And that's why I said that the topic of the kingdom of God is different from Christianity. And hopefully one day we'll get more in details with that. Because again, Jesus did not come to establish Christianity or a religion. He came to establish the kingdom of God within us and on earth. And that is a totally different subject than Christianity. And we need to understand that, especially in the generation that we live in today, in the world that we live in today. That's why I'm going to say this to everyone. That's why Jesus has not come back yet. And I'm going to prove it to you by the word of God in Matthew chapter 24. If you will all take your time out to read the whole chapter, not just one verse, they ask Jesus a question. They say, Jesus, when will the end be? And Jesus gives two answers. He answers right away by saying, you will hear rumors of wars, you father against son, and he starts reiterating what's going to happen. And then he says, not even I know when the end will be, but only the Father. Now, here's why he answered that way. Because remember, Jesus is also God. So why didn't he know the answer? Because he was giving it from a human perspective. He was answering the question. In his humanity, he did not know when the end will be. But if you keep reading the chapter, he gives the answer now as God, in his God nature. He says, he gives the answer. This is why I tell people, I know when the end will be. I know when Christ is coming. And most people were, how could you know? Nobody knows. I said, because it's in the Word of God. Now, I don't know the time, the date, the month, but I'm going to tell you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. He said, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached throughout the whole world, then the end shall come. So now, in his God nature, he's given the answer that into the gospel of the kingdom is not preached throughout the whole world, he cannot come. That's why we haven't seen him come back yet, because the gospel of the kingdom, which is the true message of the Word of God, not the gospel of Pentecostalism, of Baptist or Methodist or any other religion, but the gospel of the kingdom, is not preached throughout the whole world, he cannot return. So that means if we're still here, we still have an opportunity because the gospel of the kingdom is not in the whole world yet. When will it be fulfilled? I don't know. But we will know when he comes back. That means the gospel of the kingdom has reached the whole world. So I'm sharing that with everybody to let them know today is the day of salvation. Do not put away what you can do today for tomorrow, because tomorrow is not guaranteed to nobody. That's not a gloom and doom message. It is a true kingdom message that today, by this phone conversation, that by this podcast that we're having, if someone is out there listening to us and you don't know whether you're saved or not, today is the day for you to be saved. For real.
Yes.
Not in a religious way. I'm not going to tell you to repeat the a sinner's prayer, because there's no such thing as a sinner's prayer. But what I am telling you today is to come to the acknowledgement that when you seek the kingdom of God, as we started with Matthew 6:33, that you recognize that God is the authority over you. And then you say to yourself, I want to be in alignment with his righteousness, again with his word. Then everything else will be added unto you according to the will of God. But the number one thing that's going to be added unto you is salvation. God wants you to be saved for real, not in a religious way, not by saying to you, now you need to go to church 7 days a week, now you got to carry the biggest Bible you can buy. No. To truly be saved is to know one thing. If God is in you, you have salvation. And if you are in God, you have salvation. That's the way it works. God needs to be in us, and we need to be in God. And that's the way we can know that we are saved. So go ahead, Sister Jewel.
Amen. Brother Peter, I want to thank you for this powerful message you've given us today with seeking the kingdom first. You touched on a mirage of current topics and hot topics that many are afraid to speak on, and I appreciate that so much for you coming on in full transparency and not having any fear of what comes with it. I want to definitely share with our audience, and I don't think I've said this before to you guys, but the enemy likes to keep us bound in our sin and shame. And
right.
I know some people may be listening to this and think, well, it's easy for you guys to say what's right or wrong because you didn't do it. You guys, once, have no idea what we did. I could tell you when I was a youngster in New York, I went to parties, I had fun. I lived the life of a young person, and these are the kind of people that God uses in our testimonies and guidance to help you guys get out of that bondage, right? If you finally get comfortable in your own skin, and like I said before, you know, when I was a child, I thought like a child. Now that I'm an adult, I can walk in my purpose and tell you guys openly and honestly, this is the direction we need to walk in. But some people don't want to get out of that bondage or feel like whatever affiliations they're in are somehow holding things over their head where they can't get out. There's always a way out. You know, repent. Trust that our Father, no matter what it is that you've gotten yourself into, can use your story, your testimony to free others and step out of that bondage. I just wanted to give them that quick message, Brother Peter. But I thank you so much, so much for coming on to our podcast. And this may be one of our most powerful ones yet in delivering people and leading them into the kingdom. So I'm definitely appreciative of that. I want to share with you guys, before we close out, a few comments from the previous podcast. Mr. Grayton said that the last podcast was very, very interesting, and I want to thank you, Mr. Grayton, for supporting my podcast. I'm glad you found it interesting, and we'll keep them coming. You know, we'll keep on pouring into you. Mr. Aku said, God bless us, and he loved the podcast. So I'm glad you loved it as well, Mr. Aku. And Mr. Fancy said, thank you for sharing your podcast. I appreciate you guys, your ministry, and your heart clearly serves the Lord. So thank you so much, Mr. Fancy, for recognizing our podcast and seeing that we truly want to help our community get closer to God. We put our egos aside, and we do this all for the Father. Nothing to do with me personally, but I thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. In closing, I'm sorry. If you have something else you'd like to add before we close, please jump in, Brother Peter.
Just to add on to what you just said, that please, everyone that's listening, support your ministry. What you're doing is great for the kingdom of God, and we just want to honor you for that and pray that God will keep opening doors for you and your ministry. And again, I thank you for the opportunity of allowing me to be part of this podcast, which I have been blessed also. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Brother Peter. And I want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage you guys to support Brother Peter. I mentioned before his organization. You didn't have a chance to touch on your humanitarian organization. If you could just tell them briefly how they can get involved or what they can do to support you, please just jump right in and let them know.
Yes. Well, our humanitarian organization is called International Human Rights Peace Commission. Our website right now currently is under construction, but it is www.ihrpcommission.com. www.ihrpcommission.com, and our ministry is called the Kingdom Global Ministerial Alliance. It is a fellowship. We are internationally. We're going globally by the grace of God. It is kgmafgc.org. kgmafgc.org, and you can see there if you would choose to go into our website, you can see how God has been blessing our ministry. And we just ask, the most thing we ask for is for your prayers, you know, and if one can bless us, whichever way, whether it be financially, whether it be a prayer, whether it be a donation, we are an organization, both the humanitarian and ministry, just like our dear sister Jewel, where we receive to give. And that's what we're all about. We receive to give. Because the blessing is in the giving. So thank you, Sister Jewel, once again for this great opportunity. And I look forward to another time, another day, where we can continue to have wonderful discussions like this to bless the people of God. Thank you, Sister Jewel. God bless you so much.
Oh, God bless you too, Brother Peter. I hope we could definitely have you back on, because I'm sure a lot of people are going to have much to say, and you have so much wisdom to share. So I want to say God bless you, brother, and thank you so much for supporting me and this podcast and this ministry. Thank you for joining us with your insightful comments. I want to especially thank fundraisingcup.org Ministries for sponsoring us. And you guys know if you wish to donate, you can do so on the website, or you can call directly at 615-205-5657. I ask you to continue to pray for us, pray for Brother Peter, that we can continue to stand in the Lord's strength and deliver to you these words of wisdom as we go through our trials each day. Your support is greatly appreciated. And as always, I remind you guys, I have my own travel business. So now that it's getting warm, come on, support a sister. Let me hook you guys up. It's my own little side hustle. So please feel free to contact me to book your next travel arrangement. And that's pretty much it. I want to thank you guys for listening, and stay tuned. We have some more hot topics coming up for this month of May. And that's all. So all of you take care, and God bless.
God bless.